I'd like to thank the United States Coast Guard here in Staten Island for presenting the colors. Let us give them a hand once again for their service. I want to welcome you today to church for this special Sunday as we are honoring and recognizing the men and women who have preserved our freedom in the past, and my friends, without question, have given us the beautiful privilege to gather Sunday after Sunday here at church. And so we thank God for each man and woman that has served in the past, for those that are currently serving. I've thought many times as I reflect in preparation for this special Sunday that our country needs two very important things to be reminded of. First and foremost is God, that we've been endowed by our loving, almighty Creator with the gifts and abilities that we have, no more precious than the life that we have. And of course, our veterans. The care, the provision, the respect, and the honor belongs to them who have put on the uniform, who have put themselves in harm's way, and without question reflect and embody the qualities of Christ, that sacrificial love. And so it's fitting that we gather together today to honor these true heroes in America. On the 11th month, the 11th day each year, Americans across the nation turn their focus to veterans. But our focus needs to be on veterans each and every day of the year. And being that this is the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving, perhaps there is nothing more to be thankful for this day than the men and women who have served our country and have afforded us the freedoms and privileges that we share. And so with that said, at this service, I'd like to first recognize all veterans or active duty. Please stand as we celebrate you. Thank you. Our heart's desire in having a service like this is also to announce and to share that in 2017, with the help of some of our partners that we will mention today, our desire is to begin a veterans reach, a veterans ministry, and right here in the church to have the doors open for a support group and also to have a resource place for veterans to go, and hoping that that will open up other doors to attack some other needs that are currently present for the veteran community. It is our duty, as well as our responsibility as Christians, to care for all people, but I can't help but think that God wants us to pay special attention and care for our veterans. And so this service is a declaration of that commitment, as well as a step and a statement of our faith and our trust in God's provision of what he has done in the past and what he's going to do in the future. And so at this time, at this special service, we wanted to, in addition to recognizing all of our heroes that are here with us this morning, we wanted to pay special attention to a few friends that we've made through the years, and we wanted to present them with a special award. Now, to do so and joining and helping with me is one of our own here at the church, a veteran Marine, Steve, who's going to join me up front. So, Steve, come on up. The first award that we would like to present is a very special and sentimental one for me. 15 years ago, when Crossroads started, it wasn't easy to find a place where you can hold a church service at. But guess who opened the doors for Crossroads Church? Over there on McLean Avenue, the Cespino Russo American Legion Hall. Now, I was joking with some of the men. I said, it's good to see it, because when we started the church, I was 14 at the time. I'm a little bit older than that. But I have to tell you, for those of you who don't know, these men, in particular Tony, who we know who would love to be here with us today, they were always so generous to our church. I remember, and of course they are, because look how generous they were, this great generation, to put themselves out on the front lines for our country. I remember they had a certain fee and a contract, and once I got to meet Tony and we walked around, he says, so what are you going to do here? And so I explained, well, we'll probably sing a few songs and read from the Bible and teach the Bible and take an offering and pray and go home and occasionally have a few meals. And he said, well, that sounds good. And he said, give me that contract, son. And he took the contract and he put a slash through the price, not once but twice. And he dropped the price down 50% so that the church could start there and be comfortable. And I'll never forget that. And I'd also never forget the words of some of the other men, like Brother Hank, who became part of the Crossroads family, opening the church up on Christmas Eve, opening the church up when we have special events. Hank and Joe and Tony and all of the other men really made us feel welcome there. And I can't help but think that we wouldn't have the success that we have today if not for their open door and their generosity. And so they even gave where they would hang out downstairs. You guys remember that area, that cool area down there? That was where the children had Sunday school church. And so right down there. And so we're so thankful for the Suspino Russo for their hospitality that they've shown to our church. But the bigger picture is what they represent. Over there in the South Beach community, having their doors open for numerous events and keeping the colors raised proudly there in that community, they are a reminder of everything that's good about our country. The men that are a part of that post are friends for life, and they are certainly people that we want to celebrate. And so on this first veteran service of many that the church is going to have in the coming years, we wanted to honor our friends at the Suspino Russo. And so, gentlemen, somebody come on up and receive this award on your behalf. Thank you, John.
Oh, you're welcome.
God bless you. It says, with great appreciation, we hereby present the Suspino Russo American Legion with the Honor Award for your sacrifice and service for our country. Thank you.
We at Suspino Russo Post appreciate this. This is Christmas time, and we think about all the brothers and sisters who never... who never came home. And so at Christmas time, we take care of the children of our military. We do a Christmas for 353rd, 8th Medical Brigade, Coast Guard, children whose parents are fighting overseas. We have a great Santa Claus, elves. We make sure they get the toy that they desire. We do two Saturdays at Ronald McDonald House, and that's a very, very, very difficult one. We served our country, and we feel we must serve our community. I'm very proud to be a member of Suspino Russo Post.
Thank you. Our next award is for new friends that we've made in exploring the opportunities and the needs for veterans ministry. We've come in contact with a great group of Americans, Rolling Thunder. This organization started back in 1985, has nearly 100 chapters. They represent and embody the honor that all of us must have in remembering the hero that did not come home, or the missing man in duty and action. And they champion the cause that we will never forget. And so at this time, join me in giving thanks and welcoming to the front of the church members of Rolling Thunder to receive this award. Thank you for being here. And this award as well says, with great appreciation, we hereby present Rolling Thunder with the Honor Award for faithfully representing and remembering and serving veterans. And so, Bruno, we wanted to present this to you, and we thank God for you, and we look forward to learning more and working with you. We thank God for your service for our country and for what you're doing presently for veterans right now.
Thank you.
I'm not really much of a speech goer, or I really don't want to say this is a very... auspicious occasion for me, but for the last 30 years, Rolling Thunder as a whole is comprised of, as Pastor Ray said, well close to 100 chapters with over 1.5 million members. So for the last 9 years that I've been in Rolling Thunder, We've just done so much to ensure the veteran community that we're always here for them. And as Pastor Ray said, our primary mission is the POW-MIA awareness. And we're going to continue to fight for those guys who are forgotten, that'll never to instill upon them that they're never forgotten. Thank you.
There's people that you meet along the journey of life that inspire you. And certainly there are great stories across our country. But one that has touched my heart is of a friend that I was introduced to a couple years ago by Julio in our church. And this man has touched me in many ways for not just what he has gone through, not what he has endured, but his heart to care for people that really resonates with me. Just his willingness to, whether it be the middle of the night or an inconvenient time, to drop everything and help his fellow veteran. And I wanted to recognize him, although he's going to kill me for doing this. Michael is a sweet-spirited man, wounded in combat in Vietnam, lost both his legs. For 8 hours after 4 attempts of rescue, 3 of the medevacs were blown up. He was given last rites 3 different times. I would say that God has a purpose for him. And so it is fitting and it's honorable as we begin to explore the important work that we have ahead of us to care for our veterans. It is important that we recognize one of our new friends, our new partners. Please welcome Sergeant Michael Sassoni to the front. This is a happy day because, as I've said, I've gotten to know Michael and Frida, and boy, oh boy, they put on a nice spread at their house. Okay, is that okay? I can let that out? Sure. They send you home with rice balls and everything else there. They're a great family. But the reason why I have Michael up here also is to let you know that together with a few other friends, Joe's here and a few others, we've been meeting and we've been discussing some of the needs for our veteran community. Together, we want to help be a resource to our veterans. We want to speak to the issue of homeless veterans in America and put our heads together and try to come up with a plan and address that issue. And who better than the church to join forces with our great men and women, many who are affiliated with their own churches. The churches are the greatest volunteer army in America right now with the veterans. And if we could join forces together and harness that hunger to serve and to help, I think we could do what some of our organizations perhaps have been overwhelmed to do. And so it's our job to stand in the gap. And I'm proud to have up here a man who has been doing it for many, many, many years. At the age of 19, going off, and since that time, even though all that has happened, it has not stopped him from serving. And so we're joining a great American hero in this endeavor. Would you like to say anything? Yeah. And his lovely wife, Frida, too, right here.
Thanks for the award, and I can't express the help that I've got with Rolling Thunder and working with them. And if we just follow their journey, I think they'll take us to where we have to go and help. Thank you.
At this time, we're honored to have a special presentation called the Missing Man Table.
Those who have served and those currently serving in the uniformed services of the United States of America are ever mindful that the sweetness of enduring peace has always been tainted by the bitterness of personal sacrifice. We are compelled to never forget while we enjoy our daily pleasures. There are those who have endured and may still be enduring the agonies of pain, deprivation, and imprisonment. The POW-MIA issue is not unique to any one particular war or period in history. We know there were 4,452 unaccounted troops from World War I. 73,118 unaccounted troops from World War II. 7,780 unaccounted troops from the Korean War. 126 unaccounted troops from the Cold War, and 1,618 unaccounted troops from Vietnam. Before we continue this ceremony this day, let us pause for a moment to recognize our prisoners of war and missing in action. We call your attention to the small table, which occupies a place of dignity and honor. It is set for one, symbolizing the fact that members of our armed forces are missing from our ranks. They are referred to as POWs and MIAs. However, we call them brother. We call them sister. They are unable to be with their family and friends this day. So we join together to pay humble tribute to them and to bear witness to their continued absence and sacrifice.
This table, set for one, is small, symbolizing the frailty of one prisoner alone against his or her oppressors. Remember, the tablecloth is white, which is symbolic of the purity of their intentions to respond to their country's call to arms. Remember, the single red rose in the vase signifies the blood they have shed in sacrifice to ensure the freedoms of our beloved United States of America. This rose also reminds us of the family and friends of our missing brothers and sisters who keep the faith, awaiting their return. Remember, there's a slice of lemon on the bread plate, which reminds us of their bitter fate. Remember, the salt sprinkled on the bread plate represents the countless fallen tears of the families as they continue to wait for answers. Remember, the glass is inverted. They cannot drink with us today. Remember, the chair is empty. They are not here. Remember, the candle is reminiscent of the light of hope, which lives in our hearts to illuminate their way home, away from their captors, and into the open arms of a grateful nation. Remember, many of our brothers and sisters may never return. They have made the supreme sacrifice to ensure our freedom. Remember,
we pray to the Supreme Commander that all of our brothers and sisters will be home where they belong. We pray for a full accounting of all our troops from all wars so there can be closure for their families and friends. We pray that God watches over us, them, and their families. But most of all, we pray that we all remember. Thank you.
How appropriate, how fitting that we thank God Almighty for the men and women who have put on the uniform and that have given the ultimate sacrifice and have provided for you and I the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. And so once again, we thank God for each of you, and we thank God for his provision for the needs that you have. At this time, I want to invite you in your programs to take out the scriptures that are there. And allow me to take a few moments just to share this important message on gratitude. How fitting on a day like this. I think we live in a country today that has forgotten what gratitude is. Our gratitude and our thankfulness has been reduced to a hashtag on social media or a status post. By doing such, we're teaching the next generation not to value what matters most, especially our veterans. It's no secret that our country is very much confused. We call wrong right and right wrong. We're so quick to take up a cause, but yet miss the people who are right under our nose that need help, our veterans. There shouldn't be one veteran in the United States of America that has any needs. The country should provide and take care of them 100%. The last time I checked my paycheck, and I'm ordained, I still pay taxes. And yes, there are nice projects to be done and bridges to be painted and social programs to fund, but we should never forget our veterans. In fact, I pray that one day our government, somebody will pass a bill. Maybe I'll ask for it to be passed one day. Veterans should be exempt from certain taxes in America. They should not have to pay property tax, in my opinion. And call it the HERO Act, if it hasn't been named yet. We should be extremely thankful. And in our nation, we need to go back to that. We've become a nation of complainers, of bellyachers. I think if you ask some of the men and women from generations past, they would say we're pretty soft today in America, considering all that they had to endure. Just look at some of the heroes that are here today. And so when we think about thankfulness and gratitude and the genuineness that God wants us to have, we turn to the scriptures. The scriptures give us a canvas of thankfulness. It calls us to have an attitude of gratitude, if you will. And so here in the scriptures, you'll notice Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. That doesn't just mean when you're on top of the mountain and things are going great. That means even when you're in the valley, that you give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, for this is the will of God. This is what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be caught up in complaining. He wants us to be people who are thankful. And we have a lot to be thankful for here in America. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, thankfulness is very good spiritually, but also psychologically. It's been said that gratitude is the enemy of depression. As we go through many of the mental battles that we have, and a lot goes on between your two ears, no matter how big or small your head is. A lot of struggles, a lot of battles that we have, some things that we haven't gotten rid of yet, some things that we're holding on to. One of the best medicines is thankfulness and gratitude. And here's some benefits listed for you right here in the notes that are found in your program. Thankfulness combats depression, as we find out in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication, notice with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen to this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thankfulness also refocuses our priorities. In Luke chapter 17, you may recall the 10 lepers who had this aggressive disease that basically made them an outcast as we studied the Gospels. And in St. Luke's Gospel, it says that the 10 went to go present themselves to the religious hierarchy, but only one came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute, wasn't there 10? Where's the other one? Where's the other nine? Only one of them had a heart of gratitude, because the passage was teaching that that's the focus that we need to have. We should always have a priority of it. It also helps with everyday responsibilities. We're told in Colossians 3:17 that no matter what we're doing, whether we're taking care of the family, just as the Suspino Russo represented in Rolling Thunder and Michael, caring for the community, whatever it may be, that in all the responsibilities that we have, in home, out of the home, we're to do it with thankfulness. Thankfulness also strengthens our prayers. It helps bring awareness to others, like we're doing here today. In less than 2 weeks, we'll honor all police officers here in Staten Island. You may remember that event from last year. It was a terrific gathering. We'll do the same on November the 29th. And why do we take up that responsibility to honor officers? Because we saw all the negativity in our culture, all the complaining. And we have a belief from Scripture is that thankfulness raises all boats in the harbor. And we're going to do the same for veterans. As we gather here today, this is also a prayer as well as a statement to make that we're going to take up the care as best we can to partner with reputable organizations to care for veterans. It also helps you and I connect with God when we have a thankful heart. No matter where you are in your journey with God, you don't need to be religious to get to heaven. Nobody ever went to heaven because they were religious. Heaven is given to those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And thankfulness helps us connect because the ultimate sacrifice was made on the cross through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then finally, thankfulness prevents the attitude of ingratitude. And that is what I'd like to read today, this short passage before we bring our service to a close. Continuing in Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 18. As some of you may know, Luke by profession is a physician. So anybody who is a physician here, you would appreciate that this is a very learned and studied man. Luke is also a historian. He gives us certain historical facts in his gospel that prove the validity of the gospel and the birth of Christ. In fact, in just a few short weeks, we'll celebrate Christmas around the country. It's Luke who gives us the details of Mary when the angel came to her. It's Luke who gives us the details of Mary going to see Elizabeth. It's Luke who gives us the details of Mary bringing forth the birth. And it's Luke who also writes the book of Acts and follows Mary all the way into the book of Acts. I can almost imagine Mary saying, "Luke, get away from me here, enough already." But Luke's a historian and a doctor. A miraculous conception's pretty cool to a doctor, you would say. And so Luke is a historian, a physician. But most importantly, he is an instrument of Almighty God. And he preserves these beautiful accounts of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them was on Jesus' way to the cross, the Passover, if you will. In Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 42, it says this. Then it happened, Luke transitioning from a previous passage, as he, that being Jesus, was coming near to Jericho. This was about a six-hour journey because they were going from Jericho all the way to Jerusalem. It says that a certain blind man, now Luke tells us that there was just one blind man. Matthew's gospel tells us that there was two blind men. And Mark's gospel tells us the name of this blind man. What we could do by harmonizing the gospels is that there were indeed two blind men. One of them, we're going to find out, received the blessing of receiving his sight back, and he just went on and did his own thing. But one stuck with Jesus, so much so that we find out his name, Mark tells us, his name is Bartimaeus. And he most likely became a very prominent figure in the early church, the very first church after Christ rose from the dead. And so here was this blind man, we find out, Dr. Luke tells us, that sat by the road begging. Because if you were blind, that's what you were reduced to. As you know, the religious culture, they looked down on people with any type of disease or deformity or any type of struggle. They could care less about them. In fact, they made money on them. And so here was this blind man reduced to begging. Verse 36, and it says, "And hearing the multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. And so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." As we know, at this point in the life of Jesus, he wasn't just gathering a few people. There were thousands of people following him. And that could bring about a commotion. Verse 38, and he cried out. In the Greek language, it means like a scream, a plea, in anguish. And he cried out in anguish, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know, if you're in a jam and you're struggling, if you're going to cry something out, you might as well cry the name of Jesus out. And that's what this blind man did. Son of David is a messianic title as we study over in the Old Testament and cross over into the New Testament. Son of David, have mercy on me. No greater thing than to ask for God's mercy in your life. And here, this blind man, have mercy on me. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. Hey, hush up over here. We're trying to enjoy, you know, Jesus and all that he's going to do. Because there was a lot of thrill seekers there. There was a lot of people, although they didn't have social media there, there was a lot of hashtaggers there. That's what they were about. No action. They were just there for the thrill. There's a lot of people like that in our country. They say they care about veterans. They say they care about our country, but it's just political expediency. It's just for their own convenience. Much like here on this road, there were just people there for their own convenience. They could care less that there was a blind man who probably hadn't eaten, who probably was forgotten about. They tell him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. That is very telling. In the Greek language, it means that he kept crying. He was shouting over the yells that were coming at him to be quiet. There's a lot of people in our country today telling us to be quiet about what's right, isn't there? They want to drown out our voice. That's why we need organizations like Rolling Thunder. We need our American Legions. We need people to stand up, the community to join forces so that the POWs will never be forgotten and the MIAs will never be forgotten. And certainly those that are here will not be forgotten. And so this man cried out over the top of those voices that were trying to silence him. And so it says in verse 40, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And so Jesus hears what's going on. Jesus is God. He knows all things. He knows exactly where this blind man is. The blind man may not know where Jesus is, but Jesus knows where the blind man is. And even if you're here today and you're sitting in your confusion and your darkness over whatever you're going through, you may not know exactly where Jesus is. I tell you, you came to a pretty good place today to find him, if you're looking, church. You may not know exactly where he is, but guess what? He knows exactly where you are. And it says, Jesus commanded that this man would be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked them, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Anytime a question is asked in the Bible from Jesus or from God, it's not for their benefit because they know all things. It's for the person's benefit. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Of course, that's what it is. And then listen to this. Then Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. Jesus wasn't saying that your faith was strong enough, now you can finally be healed. He was saying that your faith is in the right place. That's why this healing has come. Now, we can learn two important lessons from this passage that I'd like to draw your attention to, and you might want to jot this down in your notes. This has a lot to do with thankfulness and gratitude, and so write this down. We need to put actions behind our thankfulness. There were two blind men. One man, we don't know where he went. Maybe he went out to get something to eat. I don't know where he's at. But there is one blind man who's going to put action to his thankfulness. And that, as we find out, is Bartimaeus. He puts actions behind his thankfulness. Talk is cheap. We got to do something. We got to get up and do something. And that's what Bartimaeus is going to do here. Verse 43 says this, and immediately he received sight. So notice that he didn't get an eye patch, and Jesus said, make your eyes got to adjust to the light. He was immediately healed. If we know anything about the intricacy of the eye, the human eye and the nerve endings, the fact that the human eye in general is an amazing creation of God. Because of it's really like a computer that you take in what you're seeing and you're able to process things immediately. I don't know about you, but Thanksgiving's coming up. When I see the antipasto out, my eyes process that, sneak one in when nobody's looking. I don't know about you. Just check your eyes out then. So you tell me if they're working. This man had been blind. Now, blindness could have been caused from birth because they didn't have the most sanitary conditions when babies were born. It could have been because of dust storms. Dust would get and contaminate the eyes. We don't know exactly why. All we know is this man is blind. Now he's healed. But he could see immediately, and you might want to circle that word because you see a lot of these phony people on television that have these healing services, and they pretend that they're getting healed, and they kind of dance it out. That never happened in the Bible. People were instantly healed by Jesus. They didn't need to go to 6 weeks of therapy. They were immediately healed because that's the power of God. He doesn't do anything 50%, including our salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's not like the tolls we pay here, the $100 tolls we pay to get off and on the island. You have direct access to God. You don't got to pay to get into heaven. Christ has paid the price on the cross by dying for my sins and for your sins, paid in full. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead so that one day when we leave this world, we have a home in heaven. This blind man is seeing a lot more than just the colors and the trees and people. He's seeing eternal life here through the Son of God. And it says immediately he received the sight, and then circle this word, followed. This word followed means to be a disciple. Jesus had the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples. Disciple simply means a follower of Christ. This man received the greatest blessing that he'd ever known, which was his sight. He didn't just get it and forget about that freedom that he has now. What he did was he immediately followed Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to be thankful in two very important ways, especially as Thanksgiving approaches. We need to be thankful for what God has done for us. We need to be thankful and remember that God has a purpose for our life. We don't have to be the greatest person in the world. Jesus is that. We follow him. We need to be thankful to God and put actions behind our thankfulness. We need to live each day truly as a gift that God has given to us, especially if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that he has forgiven our sins, and that he has guaranteed a home in heaven. We should be so thankful for what the Lord has done for us, that each week we should look forward to go to church. Even if we don't know even how to pray correctly, we should just give a thanks to God each day for the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem. You know, I respect all different religions. I've studied all of them. But I have to tell you, there's only one faith that promises the free gift of salvation and eternal life. And that is signified and symbolized by that empty tomb in Jerusalem. Every other religious figure that claims some form of divinity, although it's not true, they're all dead. Jesus is alive and well, seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. We have much to be thankful for. I mean, wouldn't it be miserable if this was all there was? It'd be a joke. It'd be depressing. Thank God that we have an eternity to look forward to. Thank God that those who have gone ahead of us in Christ, we will see them again, and we'll be able to salute our brothers and sisters in Christ, even though they've gone missing here from earth. We're thankful to God for eternity and for the promise of such. This man followed. Now, flipping over your notes, here's some actions that we need to do. We need to go to commitment instead of convenience. We need to have a commitment. That second area that I'd submit to you today in the presence of our heroes that are here is that we need to make a strong commitment as a church for veterans. In 2017, we need to have a veteran support group right under this roof. That we have a place where all veterans can come. If you believe that, give God a hand for that. Now, what we hope that could grow into is other ministries to help veterans access the benefits that they so rightly deserve. To borrow a word from my dear friend Joe, to help our veterans navigate through some of the different red tapes that are out there. And then wouldn't it be great for the church to take up the cause and to help address the issue of homeless veterans here in our country? That should never be. Should never be. We have a duty as citizens of this country, people who live in freedom, who worship in freedom on the weekend. We have a duty to care for our veteran, and we will only be as good as our thankfulness is. And if we fail to recognize the veteran, we jeopardize the future of the next generation. We must care for our veterans, not just in public ceremonies once a year, but each and every day. It needs to be legislation, it needs to be policy, it needs to be law, and any politician or anybody that tries to take up the mantle of leadership that does not agree with it does not deserve to be in office. Simple as that. Commitment over convenience and contributions over complaints. You know, in our country today, many of our younger veterans return, and they return to a hero's welcome. But that wasn't so for some of our veterans that came home years and decades ago. It wasn't very comfortable, and they weren't honored very well. That same attitude is starting to come back. I just read a story the other day about a veteran's family that was going. Their son had been killed in battle. And when the captain of the plane announced that we have a special military family on board and we're going to let them disperse first, some people booed. Welcome to 2016, where our values are mixed up. Forget about letting them off the plane. How about somebody go carry their luggage for them? How about somebody buy the family dinner? But we're too busy booing because we've become a country of complaints. We've become the United States of crybabies in certain circles. And look no further than the fact that we can't honor our veteran. The fact that people burn flags. The fact that people will not show respect when the national anthem is sung. People making millions and millions of dollars to play a child's sport are so spoiled. There would be no football without veterans. There'd be no bridges, no parks. There'd be no peace without our veterans. We need to turn complaints in our country to contributions. We need to contribute, not just because it's popular or it's in vogue, but because we have been endowed by God Almighty to have this sacrificial spirit to give back to our country. We need to have an action, just like Bartimaeus did. Bartimaeus didn't spend time going, look at me, I've been healed of my blindness. He immediately came to the Lord and gave thanks, and he followed him. He put actions behind his thankfulness, and I pray that we would do that, that yes, we are thankful. Well, let's put some actions behind that thankfulness. And then finally, as we close this last point, let's focus on our freedoms to be thankful. There's a lot we could gripe about, I guess. Somebody once profoundly said that if everybody on your block went outside and put all their problems in a bin, and after everybody was done and you looked at everybody else's problems, you go take your problems and go home. We could window shop everybody else's life and we go through all of that. That's why sometimes our prayer life is stagnant, because we start off with all our complaints. We need to start off by being thankful. Let's be thankful to Almighty God for what he's given to us. And let's focus on the freedoms that we have. That's exactly what Bartimaeus did. It says this in Luke 18 as we close off this passage, verse 43, the last part of it. And it says, and all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. Why was Bartimaeus giving praise to God? Why was he worshiping Jesus, we're told in this passage? Because he had freedom from darkness, that's why. He was in complete and total darkness. And now he's been freed from that. We should give thanks to God that way as well, as we have been freed because of Christ from the darkness of hell, the darkness of sin. No matter who you are, if your faith is in Christ, heaven is guaranteed to you. We should focus on the freedom in Christ that we have. And secondly, we need to focus on the freedom that our veterans have afforded to us here in America. And so I close with this thought. It's from John's gospel. When I think about our veterans, I think about John 15, 12 through 13. Some of you may have never heard this verse before. Some of you have heard it hundreds of times. This is Jesus speaking. And tell me if this doesn't resemble the heart of a veteran. This is my commandment, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you. And listen to verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. When a veteran comes in our presence, we give thanks and honor for them because they were willing to lay down their life for you and I. In many ways, the heart of a soldier represents the heart of our Savior. This is Jesus, isn't it? He laid down his life for you and I. He laid it down so that one day we can have eternal life in heaven. And so on this special veteran service, we give thanks to God for our veterans, for all that they stand for and all that they've done. It's a call to action today to say, yes, I want to get involved. And I want to put some feet to my thankfulness. And most importantly, today is a reminder of the greatest love of all, the greatest sacrificial love of all, which was Christ 2,000 plus years ago, going to the cross, taking my place and your place, laying his life essentially down for you and I, so that we could be gathered here today in this old theater, now a church, all those years later, and hear this timeless message that has preserved famine, war, poverty, and persecution. And we hold God's word in our hands this morning, and we could stand on this truth, and we can have genuine gratitude that there is no greater love than this, than the fact that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And so thank Almighty God for his love. Thank him for his grace and his mercy. We thank God for our veterans. We ask God's blessing on each of you, that he would not only bless you, but he would bless your family. We ask God's blessing on this initiative of caring for veterans. May great and new ministries be launched and reaches to help veterans, young and old, new and old, whatever it may be. Let's step up to the plate. May God bless all of our veterans, and may God bless the United States of America. Thank you. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, you have blessed our country with crops, with invention, with great advancement in our history. But perhaps no greater blessing of all is the freedom that we have. We thank you, O God, as you hold the heart of the king in your hand, and you have sovereignly chosen America to be a free nation. And you have blessed us through our history with men and women who embody the gospel's call for sacrifice. Oh God, you have been a great comfort to many men and women on the battlefield and those who have come home. We ask once more, oh God, that you would bless our nation, not for ourselves, but for our veterans. May the next generation hear loudly over the perversion of ingratitude, the profound appreciation that we are to have for our veterans, and for all things that you've blessed us with, O God. May we be a grateful nation. May we turn our hearts back to you. May we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, your son who died for our sins and rose from the dead. That is the gospel. And we commit our hearts to you once more. We ask your blessing upon each person that's here today. We ask, O God, that you would bless our disabled veterans, O God, as well. Lord, provide for their needs and their family. Lord, may it be a new day in our country. And Lord, raise up leaders that have a heart for you and a heart for our veterans, for there's no two greater loves to have in this country. We commit these prayers this morning, and we sow these prayers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.